Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, a 1971 film, Beware the Holy Whore, directed by Wynton Fassbinder, and Chinese Roulette, a 1976 film, also directed by Fassbinder. Yusuf, this was your pick this week. Por qué?
Well, I hadn't seen anything by him, and I was curious, and well, this podcast is becoming me justifying the Criterion subscription. So there was the Venn diagram in between was him. So I had to pick these movies, I guess. And I'm gonna watch like Asayas on my own, so that's why I wasn't like too keen on picking two Asayas movies. And this feels like a bit. From the outside, it felt a bit more impenetrable. So that's why I picked them. I thought this would be a good way to watch them. But to assure the listeners, they're not. They're actually kind of accessible and fun.
I was surprised that you didn't pick more of his more famous ones. I think the Patra Fong Kang one was
really
is the one that I hear people name drop the most.
Dude, I picked the shortest ones. I didn't want to like. I didn't want you guys to be like, "Wow, we're 4 hours into this German movie," and I didn't know of his oeuvre. I didn't know he was like funny. He is like a wicked
sense of humor. These ones are both very pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm. Michelle, what did you think? Yeah, I'm very curious about that. That's what I've been waiting for.
Really?
Yeah.
This is weird because it's like an hour's passed. And what's happened?
In Beware the Holy, or both?
For both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, what's this even about? But like, it's not boring. It's weird because it's like.
That's a valid point, actually.
Just.
It.
I don't know.
No, I get the. Especially in Beware the Holy Whore, I felt that more like pronounced sense of. Is there any sort of forward motion? Are we like just sitting in this mess? But I thought that was the that was why it was funny. Yeah.
I thought that was like one of the part that was funny about it is that before the director arrives, the crew is basically in limbo, right?
Yeah.
Aimless, just sitting around. But even after he arrives, the same thing still happens.
But it's so hilariously like German when they yell, when they're like, when he's like, "You're all pigs! I hate you! You're all parasites!
Give me 10 more Cuba Libres! 3 more Cuba Libres!" Yeah.
Why are Cuba Libres such a popular thing? That's also one of the things I wanted to.
I guess it's because they're in Spain, and that's like the one, it's cheap to make and order.
Rum and Coke, okay.
It's just literally rum and Coke, so I was like, I guess that's the easy form of getting blasted.
Yeah, but it's like...
Also, Germans have anger issues.
It's aggressively, not misogynistic, but it's like the point of the most of the jokes are like, they're treating these women like
garbage.
So that's what I was like curious what Michelle would make of it. Yeah, it's a very odd experience. Like, I don't know, it's like a lot of non sequiturs, a lot of like jokes that are just like he'd cut to someone having half of a conversation and it would be the most ridiculous thing ever, and I just found that so funny. But Chinese Roulette, the it feels like it. I know the constant, or like the, I guess both of them, more or less nothing happens, but Chinese Roulette has something huge happen at the end. But they feel, to me at least, they feel like they were made by two very different guys almost. I don't know.
At different stages of their careers.
Yeah.
I thought Chinese Roulette was very fascinating. It becomes like the relationship it observes is a bit more mature, I suppose, compared to Beware the Holy Whore, where the whole thing is that none of them are committed to any sort of relationship. And even though that's what they think they want, like it's like how the director keeps asking every woman to marry him. It's very funny.
But you know what Chinese Roulette made me think of? It was what? Like, if David Lynch and Shonda Rhimes made something together. That's what I kept thinking, like, wow, this is so, like, it feels like Twin Peaks, but it's a bit more like grounded in a way where it's about the affair and the drama of it. I love how twisted it is with the little girl
and generational resentment. Yeah, with the daughter. Oh my god.
So good.
The game at the end, the titular Chinese roulette.
Yeah.
Very symbolic of like European films wanting to use metaphors, never circling around, talking around in circles constantly, but this time this is like done to like an almost comical extreme.
I get what it is now. It's Chinese whispers.
Oh, is that what it is?
No,
but isn't Chinese whispers like the when you say something and then you say it in the circle until it ends up in the other end of the circle and something totally different?
That's just isn't that just telephone?
Yeah, it's telephone.
Oh, yeah, no, I guess it's not that. Never mind.
It's all like, different.
Have you ever tried calling your mom a Nazi? Like, this girl, this, watch, check out what this girl does.
But it's more loaded in Germany.
I guess it's even more loaded.
Once the question was asked, I was like, okay, there it is.
I think it's like when they ask, like, what would they be in, like, the Third Reich? Right, yeah. Like, if they were... And that's the first question. It's like, oh, the question, and then the answer becomes like commander of like a concentration camp. I guess some of them, and because that's why they initially point at the housekeeper, who is at the age where she might have actually like
been
in the 70s.
And then like the little girl turns it around. It's like, no, it's you, mom. You're the Nazi.
She says, you opened the cowardly choice, which is exactly, I don't know if you guys guessed it, but I guessed it. I was like, oh, it's obviously the mom. And they're gonna probably try to, you know, just pick the lady that the housekeeper, not the housekeeper, the chef, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because it's like the easy answer to not be like offending anyone.
Little do they know. Well, the whole, I think it's interesting because by that point, it feels pretty apparent the whole game exists to do, right? So I felt like, of course she's gonna accuse the mother. But she's building it up all to that one thing.
Did you think the mother was gonna kill her or shoot the caretaker?
I didn't know who she was gonna. I generally thought she was gonna shoot the daughter. Because they flirt with that idea so much. Like there's a scene before where she literally points the gun at her, like, ha, what if? Mm-hmm. Like we like fucking shoot her kid.
Would you have shot the
now are you asking me if I no I probably Reddit. Wouldn't
terrorizing
doesn't matter how manipulative the daughter, it's just a child. But then like I think that becomes like, you know, the when she's like, oh, my mom and dad really ever like say no to me despite the fact that I truly in my heart believe that they both resent me on a certain level for me being the way I am, and I resent them in return for, you know, me being the way I am. But she doesn't even seem that crippled.
Yeah, it was.
No, she just has a crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She walks with a
crutch. Both these films are beautiful. I love, that's the, why Chinese I think more so. Excellent director. More so, I think, just with even more reflections, even more glasses.
You know that one shot where he takes the bags and then the camera pans slowly to the bushes and then it cuts?
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. I was like watching it.
And all the little whip hands.
Yeah.
Like when this conversation gets very serious and it's just so precise. It's like, wow, it's incredible. Even in Beware the Holy Horde, the way he moves his camera navigates spaces, architecture. It's mise-en-scene, but it doesn't feel like it's deliberate and like trying to send a message. It's just the characters exist in the space and the space is constantly a reflection of their like mental space.
I just want to know the only thing listed as trivia under Beware the Holy Horde on IMDb.
What is it?
Among Bob Dylan's favorite films.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. it's just a movie where people sit around and listen to Leonard Cohen. It's perfect. But I think with Beware the Holy Horde, it's a fascinating movie. It's a movie about making movies. but it takes like a very unglamorized approach to it, which I found quite refreshing. Usually films, they feel like when filmmakers tackle this, you know, it's navel gazing, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of overcompensate. It's like, no, what is like the purpose of my work? Like, what am I actually creating here? And then always come to the conclusion that, you know, it's worthwhile and what I make is beautiful. This doesn't.
Like this nostalgia.
It's usually nostalgic, but this isn't, because I guess he's still young while he made this, and he's basing this off his experience making his previous movie, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's his favorite film of his, which I don't get. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's probably because he can relate to it so much, because that's what he does, mm-hmm. you know, on a day-to-day basis. But seeing this, Beware the Holy War, and I was like, oh, I should have picked Irma Vep or something as a companion piece. I what a dumbass. Mm-hmm. And then when I started watching Chinese Roulette, I was like, I'm glad I didn't, because this I don't know. It was a very different kind of experience that I appreciated a bit more.
Mm.
I don't know. It's like weird to see a filmmaker grow in such a different direction. It's like if Judd Apatow all of a sudden decided to make, like, you know, much darker films.
Yeah.
Or like,
this is 40, this is 60, and they are genuinely contemplating suicide.
Yeah, something like that. But again, I'm not familiar with the guy's like full.
I've only ever seen his other, he has a science fiction direct-to-TV movie called World on a Wire, which was basically The Matrix before The Matrix. And it's awesome. I remember it's incredibly long. It's split into two parts. I believe it's both are on Criterion. Beautiful. It's so well-directed and spooky without being spooky. And again, like his way he moves through spaces, everything that you kind of, I think, like builds up is built up in both of these films that we just watched are very much present here, except maybe the sexuality and the eroticism, which he kind of toned down.
Mm.
But yeah, both of these films are pretty horny, and about how like our lust for each other can also be incredibly destructive and get us nowhere in life.
I like how they're cheating on each other in such a respectful way.
Yeah.
It's very,
at the same time, in such, yeah.
It just felt very like practical and German.
But I feel like both the people they're cheating on have come to realize and kind of banded together, just based on the fact that the way they position it, they're like, as like, oh, this is the girl I'm cheating with, this is the guy I'm cheating with. The way they position themselves in front of each other, almost like they're chess pieces to get at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. It's like, oh wait, it's just a power. It's still a power thing. At the end, both the woman and the man, I think, feel progressively. Oh, it's like, oh, I'm just kind of a prop in the midst of their marital like dispute, and like nothing, and we kind of don't have any agency, which I thought was like interesting. What's the point of that? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. What's the point of what?
But then what's the point of the mute maid? No, not mute. The governess. For the little girl.
I think some of it is just sort of like, again, this is why I thought of David Lynch. Some of it is just weirdness for texture's sake. Like, it just makes the world a bit more like vivid and like, sorry, I didn't like even give it too much thought. But I'm sure there's like 500 academic papers about why he holds the dildo that way when he finds it or whatever. But there's a lot of weird stuff that I was just like, oh, that's just for its own sake. Like, he'll, I don't know. Like in Twin Peaks, you know how sometimes they'll be like,
yeah,
oh, the spooky, wicked, evil thing. And then they just don't address it ever again. It's just like, that's, oh, yeah, it's like another trap door that just opens like a weird sort of question that never gets answered, nor should it, because it's all about like just sucking you in deeper and then, you know, making you ask questions about what monogamy is and how much you owe your child.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a bit where, because when they call the ambulance or something, they say some, I forgot the name, it begins with a T, but it was the name of the governess, was also the name of the house. And I think that's another one of them things you're saying. Too, it's just like, oh, what does this mean? It's her house or whatever.
Tronitz, yeah, it's like, oh, it's Tronitz Manor. Like, why is it called? It's funny because they directly said at the end of it, the daughter is like, did you wish that she would have shot you? It's like she kind of expected that. She kind of, that's kind of the outcome that she was really looking for, to bring an end to all of this, just like, but instead, no. I think by shooting the governess, it's even crueler because. Cruel, because the governess is basically the daughter's like one confidant, one solid confidant, and she like gets, you know, takes her out of the picture. It's like, now you're just stuck with us.
Good movies.
Fantastic movies.
Good job, you said.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And also, I think the wife is played by Anna Karina. Who is a Truffaut's like go-to girl?
Oh yeah,
for a while, yeah. In Bon Départ, and was it a friend? What's the other one? Let me just click into it real quickly.
That's how I.
Pierrot Defoe. I don't. And also Alphaville. So she's in basically everything that he like. Know
she
for.
Was also. So is the guy in Alphaville? The guy in Beware of the of a Holy Whore. That guy.
Oh yeah.
The.
Yeah, because like, one of the guys is the real actor, right? He's just playing himself.
Yeah.
Eddie Constantine.
Well, I did think she sounded Danish, and she says French Danish, so.
Ah.
But she knows German too. So.
Well, they're European, say.
That's what I love about European cinema, like seeing.
Anybody can show up, and they can just like fit in.
Alan Delon, in.
Alan Delon.
In like Italian movies, it's like. What are you doing over here? Oh, it's just a train away and you know the language? Okay, makes sense.
We should, not a single American actor can really do that. Well, I mean, some can. If any
Bradley Cooper speaks French, and she shows up.
Bradley Cooper speaks French. Ben Affleck speaks a very funny Spanish.
No way.
So maybe they should try doing that. They should like pop up a little bit more, make movies more interesting.
It's because he loves the Latin ladies.
He does. He truly, truly does. And hey, Ben, we can't fault you for that. All right, we should take a break.
My God. All right.
And we're back. Now, let's step right up. Let's rate these films. Yusuf, you pick them. You're gonna draw first blood.
I'm gonna do four Chinese Roulette, three Beware of a Holy Whore, or five and two. But I just really like Chinese Roulette, and I thought it was very good. So that's why. But that's it.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give.
Mine's the same as Yusuf.
Oh, okay. I actually thought the Beware the Holy Whore kind of resonated with me a little bit more. I really like movies about movies, and this is like the most of one of the best ones I've seen in a very, very long time. So four to Beware the Holy Whore, and three to Chinese Roulette. And that brings us to what we've watched this week. What have we watched this week? You said you got something? We got something.
Actually, you guys go ahead. I haven't watched much.
All right. Yesterday, me and Michelle went and saw Martin McDonagh's latest film, The Banshees of Inisherin. It's Irish.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm not Irish.
It's Michelle didn't like it as much, but I think this is his best work since In Bruges. This is a true follow-up, in my opinion. I really liked it. The more I think about it.
If you liked Manchester by the Sea and just endless like misery upon misery upon misery, then you might like it, but. I'm not a fan, yeah.
Sounds like Arvin's thing.
I thought this is one of the best explorations of male friendship.
No,
it's not. That can go down, and how like it can end, but it doesn't really end because they love each other, but still, you know, they can't be friends anymore. It's
no
awesome and very funny and very sad.
There's not, no one you know has a male friendship like that.
No, but it kind of gets...
I mean, it's in the trailer where he cuts his finger off if he speaks to him. How many people do you know where that happened? None.
Well, I mean, sometimes it does feel that, like...
No, it does not.
Give it a go, Yusuf. I think you'll like it.
I'll watch it, but...
You'll watch it.
No. Sounds like a I have to drink an espresso before I watch it sort of thing.
I think it's pretty light for the most part. It's still very funny. That's why, that's why I brought it in Bruges, because it hits that same level of like humor. It's not as funny and not as like fast moving, but it's equally existential. And Ireland feels like a purgatory.
It just feels like someone was like getting a bit stir crazy in lockdown and wrote a film about it, because it's set on like an island off Ireland.
That's pretty much what we've watched this week. Yusuf, what have you watched?
Yeah, well, I didn't watch anything. That's the thing. I guess I've been continuing Irma Vep and also continuing Dahmer in like different shifts. Just watching one episode. One is really good.
Yes, one's very good.
Gross.
Yeah. So
that, very gross.
On multiple levels. You know what? I'm kind of taking back the whole, like, it's elegant in its handling. I'm not
no,
so
it's
sure
pretty disgusting
about
if you think about it. It's pretty gross what they did.
But
sure.
He said something like he reached out to all the victims and none of them responded. And he was like, okay, I guess I'll just make the show.
It's not, as if that's not an indicative of like why. It's like, no, none of them got back to me for some reason. I just can't figure out why. Anyways, let's just kind of guess what they went through.
Yeah, but there's a whole episode that deals with like how the victims were, like, what's the word? Well, it's not manipulated. Like, they were just used for just the fact, like, people sold so much stuff about it, and with regardless of, like,
exploited.
How they feel. Exploited is the word,
Mm.
And then they continue doing that with the show.
Yeah, the show's doing that itself. It's like, oh, they bring up the plot points, like, oh, what, like, these victims should be properly financially compensated, and the show doesn't do that in real life. It's like, it's disgusting. Because it tries to make it about like civil rights at the end and police brutality and police negligence, and that just all rings hollow when it's like made by Netflix and Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
But Irma Vep is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the best TV shows to come out this year. So I'm really looking forward to you finishing it, because the last two episodes are, it gets better and better. Right? I think it's excellent. All right.
Keep going.
Yeah. Do we have any recommendations for Fast and the Double Bill?
I might recommend The White Ribbon.
That's even more miserable.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. But it's about a small town going through terrible things. And they think, I don't know. I don't remember. It was like either they thought they were someone sabotaging them and they're cursed or something. But I don't know. It's just similar to Beware of a Holy Whore. They're just a community dismantling. But it's much darker and not funny at all. And it features a scene where a child is being reprimanded for masturbating and he has to be tied down in his bed. So,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, that's Michael Haneke.
I recommend Contempt, the Goddard one.
Which is
that's
like a good one. Yeah.
That's a good
one. About making the film with them.
Bridget
What's
Bardot.
The director they get?
Fritz
they
Lang.
They get a real director. Yeah, Fritz Lang is playing the director. Yeah.
I need to get to that. I haven't seen it yet. My recommendation, this is a bit more off kilter, but just in terms of the vibes of this like marital distress, Rosemary's Baby, the Polanski one, well, there's only one. I thought like just the way it captures this like building sense of dread and within what is supposed to be nice, a family, nice family unit, something so simple, like mother, father, daughter, or child, like it's all supposed to be harmony, but no, something more insidious lurking beneath it. So yeah, that's the film that came to my mind. That brings us to what we will be watching next week. It's my turn to pick. So I'm gonna go with two horror classics. Number one is The Mummy. Yes, The Mummy.
More specific.
More specifically, not the Brendan Fraser one that is the icon of our childhood. I've seen that movie like 50 times. No, but the 1932 version. The Tom Cruise one, yes. So bad. You know that movie begins with them fighting ISIS? It's crazy. The second film is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Did you even elaborate which mummy it is?
Yeah,
I said 1932.
Oh, you did. Yeah, 1935, The Bride of Frankenstein.
The one where they fight ISIS.
Yeah, no, it starts like that. And it has, yeah. What's the guy's name? Nick from New Girl being his sidekick. And they're fighting ISIS in Syria or wherever. And that's how they choose to start off their mummy Dark Universe reboot. And yeah,
dark.
It's incredible.
Did Brendan Fraser get canceled?
No, he just got kind of fell off, but he's coming back because he's in the new Aronofsky film and it's gotten like so much acclaim. So hopefully that's a big comeback story.
New Girl guy and Tom Cruise fighting guys.
Yeah, I'm serious. This is how the movie starts.
So dumb.
And they got this French lady to be like this Cleopatra parallel. It's crazy. I'm like, wow, she does not look like at all. Get the fuck out of here. But terrible. All right, that brings us to the end of our episode. Stay tuned, everybody, and we'll catch you all next week.
See ya.
Bye bye. The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.